Well, if we had to envision, I guess this is a good question to close on. If we had to envision maybe a new pedagogy of translation and how we teach Greek and Latin, after years of experience and living a passion for this and teaching, of course, for many, many years, what would be your best advice if you want to take truly sensible and sensitive freshmen and sophomores in college mm-hmm. and train them
to be translators?
To be translators, but also to think of translation as a part of their form of understanding and communing with this literature. What would you say by way of advice? Just imagine I'm a freshman and I came in and
I've done this.
Okay.
With the students come to me with exactly.
Okay, good.
Exactly, you know, that request. First of all, to learn as much as you can about the poetics of the original language. So I don't know how many copies of Wilkinson's Golden Latin Artistry I've given away. Somehow I always seem to have two or three around. Because that's not taught. That's hardly taught at all. Maybe you learn what a caesura is or something. There's so much more than that. But you have to, let's assume we're just talking about poetry here. Mm-hmm. But these things apply to, I mean, Wilkinson's Golden Latin Artistry and prose as well. That if you don't have that, there's no way that, you know, you can do an authentic translation. But this can be taught a little at a time. You don't have to say, okay, go read. This is what I told them to do. And they would do it because of those kind of kids, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Bring these things up in a really serious way. And then you always need, you know, the literal translation, but I think it should be, and I've done this, but not consistently. It depends on the class. That after you have this translation, you know, there's the idea of a polished translation. I don't like that term at all. Just you should buff it up a little and it'll be fine. You know? But I assume this would come at a level where you say you're reading an author,
mm-hmm.
because that, you can't really do that. You know, you have to become the author, you know, in some sense. And I assure them, you already know enough English, you know, to do this. You don't need to learn any more words. But you're teaching them how to write,
mm-hmm.
is what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually what they should be doing in English classes,
mm-hmm.
you know.
No, I know.
Yeah. but they're not. We teach, you know, we actually teach Greek and Latin prose composition at KU
mm-hmm.
still. The only other place I saw that was at Ave Maria in Florida. I don't know if you've heard of that place. That's the Catholic Basilica right in the middle of town.
Mm-hmm.
It's really something. Anyway, but you have to approach it as an art in whatever way is suitable to what's being read, and somehow bring that art over into English and allow them as much freedom as you have to, as much semantic freedom
mm-hmm.
as you have to. If you can manage the art, even though maybe you're not even translating it, you're just saying something parallel, but you've captured the art in some way, then eventually it can all come together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know that it can be done in, you know, a single step.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you need to approach it from both ends. What's the artistry that goes into it? And then do something similar,
mm-hmm.
you know, in English, even though you can't figure out how to do it and really translate, you know, this passage.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. We want to see you translate the art of this passage.
Mm-hmm.
That's...
Have you thought of using creative writing as a way of getting access to that? So, for example, they might write poetry, you know, of that situation, or they might try to explore, again, the imagination of the moment, you know, before simply thinking of translating the words? Or do you think that confuses the
issue? Oh,
I see.
Well, no, it might be a wonderful way to get into translation, because now you're not...
it's finding a voice, right?
You need to establish a voice, or mm-hmm. what you're going to do is going to amount to anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I never thought of of that. I mean, what I was just suggesting is something like that, but still probably tied really to the language. But why not, you know, something original
mm-hmm.
that has a similar kind of artistry.
Mm-hmm. Or a response or an homage.
Or a response or, to something, yeah. To get involved. You have to get involved with it.
I think that's what I'm going for, yeah.
You have to, some kind of immersion. And, you know, you can get, you know, different angles. I think that's good.
I remember once, in part because I think I was bored with the class, I made them write a response poem to Archilochus's shield poem. Imagine you're the person who finds the shield.
Yeah.
And that actually worked a little because the shamefulness of leaving a shield behind was something that they never thought about.
Yeah, you know? So they had an emotion to tie it into right away.
Well, and the shame of leaving your shield behind is indexed to your adversary's joy at finding your shield and knowing what a coward you were.
Oh, very good. Yeah. I like that. I think that's a good exercise.
Well, I think then maybe we could agree that some degree of creativity, but also the need to acculturate students in classics to the resources of English and how one thinks poetically would be a...
Oh, absolutely. And people would say, well, we don't have time to do, you know, the language itself. How can we? But it doesn't have to take a lot of time. And I think the rewards, you know, justify. Say, okay, you know, I think we try to do too much anyway. And, of course, we've got to read all of whatever the hell.
Right.
You know, and we're going to get through it. You know.
It's that baton death march through the text. I think I agree with you that what I find is sometimes a shift like that where you're allowing them to engage with the text can synergize in such a way that they click in better and work more efficiently.
Exactly, yeah.
Right.
And you wind up being more efficient.
And they begin to realize there is something at stake here other than my grade.
Right.
Right? There are real human emotions here or a perspective or a nuance. And then you begin to get that fundamental ethical commitment to language, right?
That's it. Yeah, an ethical commitment to language. I like that. Yeah.
Well, Stan, this has been wonderful, and I think you have earned your dinner. We're going to go enjoy. So thank you so much for this, and I hope our conversation will continue.
I hope so, too.
And I hope some Lucretius
pleasure.
Will come my way.
And I have some for you tomorrow.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, okay.